In honor of Mother's Day, it says an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband's trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like a ship of a merchant. She brings food from afar. I want to tell you the same thing that I told the last service in our Saturday night service. I never realized how many times mothers go to the grocery store. My wife is at the store every day. And I just kind of looked at her one day and I go, you don't have to go to the store every day. And I said that, and I actually kind of stuck my foot in my mouth, as I often do. And then when I say something about moms, I want you guys to, your reply would be, because that's what mothers do. Will you say that with me? Because that's what mothers do. So I got a new food that I like. It's yogurt-covered raisins. And there wasn't any on my counter on my side. We have a my side and your side counter. Yeah, and that's where all holy stuff goes on my side. That's where the yogurt-covered raisins in the small box, and they're one serving, one mouthful, I should say. I ended up not having any, and I thought, Donna, that they miraculously fell from the sky, ended up on the counter. She goes, no, I go to the store that you didn't want me to go to, and I bring them for you. I said, okay, go back to the store because I need more. Now say to your neighbor, that's what mothers do. Yeah, that's what mothers do, and I'll never make sense of it because I'm not a mom, so I don't think like a mom, and you go, yeah, praise God. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers the fields and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. So, thank you for the Bonnie family. We'll pray for that offering now. So thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you for Mark and Donna bringing the offering forward, and that it would be blessed today, whether it's through the basket or through the online giving or text to tithe, and bless their lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. And that is a funny breathing apparatus there, Mark. So, he said he was going to wear it. It's pretty funny. Anyways, she puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. So I thought about this, and I'll say this real quick. I remember when my mom would darn our socks at night, so we had socks to wear that your foot wouldn't. And young people, darning a sock means your mom has sewed up the hole in the sock. And we didn't just get socks at the store all the time. You continued to wear the sock. And our socks were colored socks. The only time you wore white socks was for gym class. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. You go, what is all this crazy? So, yeah, there you go. She's not afraid of snow at her household. Her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes beds and coverings for her clothing in this fine linen and purple. I did not know this, that sheets had to be washed either. You say it because that's what moms do. My wife, obviously my mom has went home to be with the Lord, but my wife is still around, and I told you she opts as my wife and mother at the same time. I didn't know, Brandon, that you had to actually wash sheets unless there was some trauma where I've had stitches or something, I bled on the thing. I thought they were perfectly fine, guys. She goes, tomorrow we're going to wash the sheets. And I go, what is this? Or it wash the comforter. I never would have dreamed that all my comforters that I sleep with at the farm only get washed when my wife comes up and puts them in the wash machine. And you would say, because that's what mothers do. That's what they do. They wash sheets that don't need to be washed. They don't need to be washed. Guys, you don't need to wash those. You want something fresh and new, you flip the pillow over. Amen. Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So let's praise the mothers today. Happy Mother's Day to you all. Amen. Let's pray for our word. Lord, we just ask that your word go forth and accomplish exactly what it's supposed to, and bless and freshen up our spirits in thy name, Jesus. Amen. And once again, thank you for being here today and all our friends on live stream, Facebook and live stream. Thank you. It starts in Acts 16, Acts 16, 1 through 3. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. But his father was Greek, and he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. So he's talking about Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him and took him and circumcised him because he was of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Let me explain this real quick. So we find out that this young man named Timothy is sought after by the Apostle Paul as a protege or an understudy or a missionary helper, whatever you want to call him, a second hand, if you will. How do you get on the Apostle Paul's team? How do you get on his team? What would qualify you to go with the greatest man, excuse me, that ever penned paper? You say, wow, he must have some very stringent training. Excuse me. He must have some very stringent training. And actually, he wasn't trained, excuse me, at a seminary. He was trained by his grandma and his mother. And the church said amen. Let me get a drink of that coffee right there. Right there. Excuse me. Thank you. All right. Excuse me. So, this is a Mother's Day message for everyone who has raised their child in the faith. And out of 1 Timothy, if you would go there with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he calls Timothy a child of faith, a child of faith. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Sincere faith means genuine faith. And we believe that faith is something that we've entrusted that we actually can't see. He said that faith started with you, in verse 5, with your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Look at your neighbor and say, that sounds like a mother's name or a grandma's name. And I know there's not a whole lot of ladies that are named that anymore. We name our children something a little more this generation. And your grandma's names were Evelyn and Gladys and things of that nature. So it's very fitting on Mother's Day that we talk about Lois and we talk about Eunice. Amen? So he says to Timothy, he says, I see that you have sincere faith. And out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he calls him, O man of God. O man of God. So what a compliment that someone would call a man of God. Or a woman of God for that matter. And he gets that training and he gets that faith and he gets it from his grandma and he gets it from his mother. He was trained up in the faith and he was trained up in the scriptures. So the message today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now let's listen to the message as we move forward. And it talks about godlessness in the last days. So here's what he says, the Apostle Paul to Timothy. But understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Say difficulty. As you look around, you can see that we live in very difficult times. And let me tell you something. They're apt to get more difficult if we don't continue to turn back to the Lord. Amen. And The Apostle Paul was warning young Timothy because he was running a church in Ephesus. And he told him there's going to be days to come that are going to look like these days. So these days that we're going through right now, as you look around, you can see that our chairs are separated 6 foot in all ways. That is a little weird. These are difficult times. This is the recommendation that they have for us. These are very difficult times. And we're going to analyze that today before we leave. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Say this with me, class. Ungrateful and unholy. And you might have heard your mom say that before. Back when I was a child, your mom might have said, "You're ungrateful," when she made a cake. She may have made it with chocolate icing, and I wanted vanilla icing. My mom would call us ungrateful. Amen? Now there's different issues. If they don't have 15 pairs of tennis shoes, they feel like they have been left out. Or, if you can remember this, my mom would be the distributor of chewing gum. And my mom carried, Jimmy, the same gum that all moms carry. Wrigley's Spearmint. Watch this, Brett. In order to have three children have equal shares of gum, you didn't get three sticks of gum. My mom tore it in three places. Say this with me, because that's what mothers do. And when we chewed on it, we was grateful, or you had to spit it back out. And when you spit it back out, you spit it back out in your mama's hand. Say it with me, because that's what mothers do. Am I reading anybody's mail this morning? And then the younger people might have said, "Hey, life was pretty simple back then." And I will say, you're dang skippy it was. The parents were the parents and the children were the children, and Jesus was still king then. All right. Now we're in church today. We're getting down to the deal. He said they will be heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, out of self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And he says, avoid such people. I'll tell you what I told the last service here. There are a lot of people who have come to me, especially the last couple of weeks, and they start their sentence with this: "Pastor Pat, I know that you don't watch television, and I know that you don't watch the media." And I said, "You are correct. And the reason I don't is because I'm trying to avoid these kind of people. I'm trying to avoid these kind of people." And the Bible said that there would be these people: treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, having appearance of godliness but denying its power. Say it with me again, avoid such people. So why are we trying to convert people who don't want to be converted? Why are we spending time on people who are God mockers when there are plenty of people here today in society who would love to hear about the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Amen. Spend your time on them. For among them are those who creep into households, capture weak women, burden them with sin, and lead them astray by various passions, always learning but never able to arrive at the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. So he's talking to Timothy, remember this, and he's trained by his grandmother, and he's trained by his mother. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all as what that of those two men. So here's what he's telling them to remember in verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, my suffering that happened to me in Antioch and Icona and in Lystra. With persecutions I've endured, yet from them all the Lord has rescued me. Can I get a witness in the house of the Lord today? The Apostle Paul knows about persecution. Now, I don't know about you, but last time I checked, we still live in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. As you see Old Glory flying in the back there, we remember that there are some precious documents that have kept this country free throughout for our generation after generation. And you might have seen a Facebook Live that I did, and I was talking about our freedom and talking about how the enemy would love just to take away your freedoms from you. And I did that video, and I used the Declaration of Independence, and I used the U.S. Constitution, and I let you know that it derived all its powers and all its ideas from the Holy Scriptures of God. So I thought about this, and then also in that video, I also talked about where the Apostle Paul told us in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, he said, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as some of you have been in the habit of doing, because the enemy knows if he can divide you, he can conquer you. But united in Jesus Christ, in the United States of America, we can remain free." We never. So some of you guys may have tasted a little bit of what isolation is like. You've been in your homes, and you haven't been able to go anywhere, haven't been able to do this, and haven't been able to do that. And you feel like maybe some of your freedoms have been taken away. We have to remember that there are people in this country who have fought and have died for our freedom so that we can remain free. Amen? And that's something we can't take lightly. And I thought about that in a... So this is something that we have to teach to the next generation. You don't just inherit freedom. You have to fight for freedom. The enemy will take all the ground you will allow him to have, but it's your house. You say, "Oh, no, 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 not in my house. I'll run my house according to the Holy Scriptures." Hey, I was talking to a gentleman, a Vietnam vet, in between services. He said, "Man, I just love the way you put the word down." I said, "All I'm doing is just telling the truth." And I want to talk to all you young people here today. The way you keep the country free is through the word of Jesus Christ and telling people about how your life can be saved, it can be transformed. And that's something that the young people need to know, because I really believe that in our schools, or at least some of our schools, they're not teaching history anymore. And here's the deal, if we haven't learned from history, we'll end up repeating it again. Amen. And as I go on, and before I move on, I got to tell you, and I just want to say this, my mom didn't raise no scaredy cat. Arlene Rankin, my mom, didn't raise no scaredy cat. My mom trained me and my brother how to deal with situations. And back when I was growing up, if you had a disagreement, my mom said, "Take it out back." And I'm not saying that everything, by no means, everything has to be done with physical violence. Now, that's the way me and my brother worked it out. And that's the way me and my cousins worked it out. We worked it out back. But I believe if you have a disagreement with somebody, there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. We just have to agree to disagree. But me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to trust in His Scripture. We're going to trust in His truth. And we're going to make a decision to serve Him and serve Him only. There's only one King that I serve. And his name is King Jesus. We can never give somebody the title of kingship except Jesus. And that's something that needs to be talked about. Verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will you be dragged outside the city gates and stoned like the Apostle Paul? Probably not. Will you be shipwrecked? Probably not. Will you be beat up, put in prison? He wrote this book from a Roman prison. Will you be in prison for your faith? Chew on it for a minute. Can you imagine the time when people won't allow you to freely assemble because they think it's better that you do it their way than your way or his way? That's something that never gets talked about by the next generation. And I look at all these great, wonderful soldiers and warriors that have fought to keep this land free. You cannot turn it over to anybody else than Jesus Christ. And hear me when I'm telling you that, because I'm telling you right now, we're living in very, very dangerous times. Children need to wake up. Moms and dads need to wake up and start teaching the Word of God to their children. And understand it's your job to make the decision on how your family is going to live. Verse 13. While evil and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from who you've learned it and how from childhood. He said, Timothy, I know that you have known this stuff from childhood. So thank God for the grandmas. Thank God for the moms that have been teaching their kids the true scriptures from childhood. And I got to say this today. Train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he won't depart from it. So you might be scratching your head today, mom or grandma, whoever's watching online. When is my child going to come back to the faith that I showed him when he was a child? It's a matter of time. That just means he hasn't or she hasn't felt enough pain yet. She hasn't or he hasn't felt enough disconnect yet, but he's coming. If you will put the scripture in him, the Holy Spirit will pull it back up because the address is in there. Can you imagine turning your child over to the enemy? America, I got to ask you that question. Can you imagine turning your child over to the enemy? Don't we as parents love our children enough to tell them the truth regardless of how bad it hurts? Youngster, you shouldn't do that. Youngster, you're not supposed to do that. I talked about that with one of our members yesterday. And he says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are made able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Say this with me, because that's what mothers do. I remember sitting at the kitchen table. I may have said this, but I might repeat myself. When I was sitting at the kitchen table, and this is back when you did your homework with the number 2 pencil, and it was real lead, and I'm still around. And at my house, we didn't have a pencil sharpener. You know what a pencil sharpener was in my house? My dad pulled out his pocket knife.
You say, well, wasn't that a little dangerous? Yeah, it was a little dangerous if you didn't get your homework done. Can I keep preaching right now? Listen, I'm about to. I wasn't really good at school. But my mom never let me know that. You know what my mom said? She said, you can do it. You know why? Because that's what moms do. Do you believe today, church, that your mom sees something inside of you, moms and your children, that children can't even see themselves? Or let's throw daddies in there too. Maybe it's hitting a baseball. Maybe it's homework. Maybe it's smarts. Maybe it's the job market. You know that there's something inside that child that's going to rise up one day because you put it in there. You know why? Because that's what mothers do. And that's what we do in the church, and that's what we do in America. Can I tell you something as I ask you guys to rise? God help us today. Freedom's important to me. You know why? Because that's what my dad instilled into my heart. Do you know why I know that? Because that's what my grandpa instilled in my daddy. He taught us how to say sir to the police officers. And my daddy taught, when the flag is raised, you stand and you put your hand over your heart. And if you got a hat on, I remember he knocked his hat off. He said, take that hat off, boy. Now, I didn't get to say this at the other service, but I'm saying it now. All over, and you can bring the praise team up. All over the nursing homes right now, I know of them, we know some of. There are people that are in those nursing homes that these young people, Nature Boy, don't even know. That have fought in the Second World War, they fought in Korea, they fought in Nam, and they fought to keep this country free. And we take it for granted. Who are they? There's veterans in our church today. Church, it's got to mean something today before you leave. I can't make it mean something in your life. You have to accept the fact. You go to another country, they tell you what you're going to worship. They tell you when you're going to have church. In some countries, they take your tithe out of your check for you. It's state run. Wipe your brow right now and say, man, I'm glad I don't live there. What a great Mother's Day it is. Let me tell you something, everybody that's here. If your mom is still with you, praise the Lord. That's all I can say is praise the Lord. I would do anything in the world to have my mom here today. Now, somebody's not hearing me today or they'd talk back to me. Don't get too dressed up in this church where you can't talk back. I still remember the day I got ordained as pastor of this church. After all the pastors, Chris, that had their hand on my back as I was kneeling at the altar, my dad was at that ordination. And my dad told me, he said, your mother would be so proud of you right now. Watch this now, class. It was like a coming out party that my mom never got to see. Is it ringing a bell yet? She prayed about it. She dreamed about it one day. She said, he's going to be something one day. She believed it in her heart, just like all you moms today. It's rough out there. Let's be honest. Let's just cut to the chase. This isn't like little bunny foo-foo Jimmy hopping through the forest. It's tough out there. He said the scripture is to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God as profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God, or in this case, woman of God as well, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So this is the word of the Lord, and his people said amen. Now watch this. Seems a little eerie out there, doesn't it? Little eerie. There's post on the door. There's places you can go, and there's places that you can't go. I don't know if it's one is more holier than the other or one's more safer than the other. I haven't quite figured that out yet. But I have come to this resolve as of today, or actually last week, that it's very clear that if God's church doesn't stand, there will be no more America. You can chew on that however you want. There's only one person that can get us out of a crisis that we're in. It won't be the next gadget or the next whatever. It'll be the hand of God moving, because he heard his church cry out. Everybody's looking to the world for the solution. It starts right here in the church, Donna. You don't have to run around like a crazy person trying to figure out where the solution is. It comes from inside the bowels of the church. This is his bride. When I'm trying to figure something out in my life, I get with my bride. That's my wife, Vicki. And we get in there and we pray about it and we wrestle about it and we figure it out. That's what God wants to do with this church. You are his bride. Oh, somebody's got to look out now. It feels pretty comforting knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and he's our only king. We can't let anybody else have kingship in our life. So I ask you today, do you need Jesus to be in your life today? Would you like to invite him into your life? Would you like to invite him into your family? Or do you know a family that needs Jesus today? Or do you know a family that needs healing today? You've talked to him on Facebook. I think about this. If my mom was to come back, church, after being gone for some 15 years or something, she would come up and say, Patrick, what America is this? I'm going to get out of frame here for a second. She would walk up to me and she said, where's all the bicycles and the kids playing baseball? Why isn't the moms and dads taking their children to church? My mom wouldn't even recognize this America right now. She said, that's not the America that I left you with. Is anybody hearing this message? So See, you have to know my mom and the character of my mom. My mom was the kind of mom who would give you absolutely anything you needed. And any of the kids in the neighborhood could always come to our house. But at the same time, my mom was very firm. There was a place for children and there was a place for adults. And the place for children was outside on a summer day. Now I'm a... And she would hand Kool-Aid around the screen door. Amen. Let it marinate for a second. And young people might go, Pastor, what is this place that you speak of? Well, it was a place called America where there was only 3 TV stations, and after 10:30, the test pattern came on the TV channel. You go, what's the test pattern? It went, till you shut it off, and that let everybody know your butt should be in bed. Can I get back in the pulpit for a second? That's all I'm saying. Actually, the message, Chris, is pretty simple, isn't it? We actually know that because it's in our heart. All God's asking you to do today, Teresa, is to make it come alive. It's already in there. Your parents have deposited it in you. Is that goal still reachable? You better believe it is. If I didn't think that goal wasn't reachable, I wouldn't stay in this pulpit right here. Let's pray today. What a great America we live in. Do you guys have a great mom? You guys, I'm asking you, do you have a great mom? Do you remember her? Do you remember your mom? Do you remember how great she is? What a joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've given us our moms. Lord, I don't know if they were perfect or are perfect, but they're good moms. Lord, they taught us lessons like do your homework, eat your vegetables. Go to church. Salute the flag. Say your prayers. Help out the less fortunate. Because they live everywhere, up the street and down the street. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Our moms taught us the same soap that cleansed our hands could also cleanse our mouths if need be. Let God be exalted today at this church. Let the Spirit of Jesus arise. Push back evil and let goodness prevail. Let the word be preached and all glory fly. And we pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ on this Mother's Day. And His church said, Amen.